Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the January 19th, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Intergovernmental Relations Committee. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. During the meeting, anyone who's having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers speaking. This meeting is being held in person in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Additional access is being provided by telephone to the public. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. Chairman of the Intergovernmental Relations Committee, Commissioner McAllister, will be presiding this morning. Just a note, this morning's agenda contains discussion items only and no actions are anticipated for vote. Commissioners and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time. And with that, I invite Committee Chairman McAllister to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Steve McAllister. I call the Intergovernmental Committee to order. Carol, can you do the roll call?
Certainly. Committee Chairman McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Barry.
Here.
Commissioner Orr.
Here.
Commissioner Thorson.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
All right. Thank you very much. First on the agenda is a recap of 2022 state and federal legislative outcomes. Amy, the floor is yours.
Thank you. This is Amy Rignone. If it's okay with you, consistent with the format of the memo, I'll give you the recap of the state legislative session and our forward-looking priorities for that, followed by the federal recap and the federal priorities. The budget, the FY 2023 budget that passed last year, you already heard Carol go through the exciting details of the $250 million that was passed for housing-related uses out of the SFRRF dollars, so I won't go into detail on that, but that was certainly a highlight of last year's session. In addition, on the funding front, the State Historic Preservation Program included $28 million in funding, which is also sometimes used in affordable housing projects. There were a lot of bills in the last session related to housing issues. We were tracking 236 bills last session. The highest profile bills were associated with the package of housing bills that Speaker Shikarchi put forward. He put forward 11 bills, of which 10 eventually became law. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but you can see on the next two pages the specific bills in that package with some highlights about what they did. The big ones were, I would say, the bill establishing the Secretary of the Department of Housing and making the then Deputy Secretary of Housing the Secretary of Housing. There were several bills to help streamline the housing development process, including a bill dealing with accessory dwelling units and a bill dealing with the comprehensive permit process. Most of the bills actually involved new reporting requirements. Some of them involved reporting requirements for Rhode Island Housing. One bill also required us to set up an online searchable database for affordable housing to help tenants seeking those units. And another bill moved responsibility for the State Housing Appeals Board from Rhode Island Housing to the Housing Resources Commission. So those are just some of the high level highlights of the bills that were part of that package. Beyond the package, the speaker's package, there was another bill passed that we have worked in support of for a number of years. That was the quorum bill that would basically allow for, as long as a quorum is present, would allow for a simple majority of planning and zoning boards, as well as the state housing to make decisions. That has been a quorum issue, has been something that has been a barrier to housing production at all levels in the past. There was also legislation passed which would require projects with state historic tax credits or rebuild tax credits over $10 million to pay prevailing wage. That's having an impact on some developments out there right now. And then there were a handful of other bills, some dealing with the extension and changing the membership of the Low and Moderate Income Housing Commission and the Land Use Commission, and a couple of tweaks to the Housing Resources Commission membership and how New Shoreham defines low and moderate income housing in their community. Does anyone have any questions? Oh, I'll hit the appointments as well. The SHAB filled a seat for the affordable housing developer. Sharon Conard Wells received the advice and consent of the Senate. They still have a vacancy for business community seat, as well as a new seat for alternates that was created by the legislation last year. But that will be a responsibility now of the HRC to fill. As you know, the governor selected then Housing Secretary Josh Saul to serve on the Rhode Island Housing Board, and Kyle Bennett was selected to serve as the chair of the HRC. Before I go into the priorities for the coming year, does anyone have questions on the recap?
Since we've come a long way, housing, doing this a number of years ago, there was 20 bills we were watching and 10 or same bills every year that get introduced. So it's nice to see that housing is really to the top here.
Yeah, and a lot of new bills. A lot of new bills we haven't seen before. So for the coming session at the State House, obviously the budget will be continuing. Very interested to see what's going on today. And we will continue to play an active role in the conversations around that housing-related uses of the state fiscal recovery funds in particular. There is one bill that Rhode Island Housing is working with members of the House and Senate to introduce, which is a foreclosure mediation bill. You may recall that the state established after the Great Recession or during the Great Recession, a process by which lenders support a independent mediation process for before moving forward with a foreclosure. Rhode Island Housing currently plays that role of the mediator throughout the state. That law is scheduled to sunset in July. Right now we are at a period of time where many of the protections that were in place during the pandemic for homeowners as well as renters have expired or are expiring. So it is particularly important that these kinds of protections remain in place moving forward. So we are working with Senator Oyer in the Senate and Representative Felix in the House to introduce legislation that would eliminate that sunset and would tweak the program to be more effective based on our experience in administering it in the past. Also, we are expecting a lot of activity again this year, a lot of new bills this year, particularly coming out of the work of the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act Commission and the Land Use Commission. At its last meeting, a couple of weeks ago, I believe, the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act Commission heard some recommendations that the United Way worked on with Claudia Wack that make very substantive changes to how that act works, how affordable housing would be developed under it. The Land Use Commission is meeting, I believe, later today to talk about their recommendations. So I think we can expect some very significant proposals coming out of both commissions, and anticipate many of those will be translated into legislation, and we'll have to see how those go during the session. Also expecting potential legislation during the year regarding the governance structure, the housing governance structure in the state, further fleshing out the role of the Department of Housing and its relationship to other entities, including rental and housing. So we will plan to play an active role in those conversations. And then the rest are primarily defense of existing statutes like the 8% law, which always is a topic for conversation, how affordable housing is taxed, the Low and Moderate Income Housing Act. We're also hearing that legislation is likely to be introduced involving a number of issues involving the Landlord-Tenant Act, the reduction of lead hazards in buildings and in pipes, sustainable building practices, among other topical areas. So anticipate a very busy session again with many new bills that we have not seen in the past. I'm happy to answer any questions about our priorities.
Questions?
Steve, would you like me to move on to the federal?
Yep, please.
So just a quick recap on the federal front. Also a busy year there. Back in July, you may recall that the original guidance the Treasury put out on the ARPA dollars would have made it extremely difficult to use low-income housing tax credits in conjunction with those dollars. Our congressional delegates, particularly Senator Reid, were very active as part of a national coalition, urging that those guidelines be changed. That happened in July of 2022 to allow SFRF dollars to be able to be combined efficiently with tax credit dollars, which allows the $250 million that was dedicated in Rhode Island to be able to be as effective as possible at leveraging federal dollars. The Omnibus Appropriations Bill passed back in December now. It included, so the funding levels in that were good, basically preserving existing levels or moving forward a little additional funding in some areas. A big provision that was included, however, was involving performance-based contract administration. Rhode Island Housing serves in that role. In Rhode Island, it's basically the administration of the Section 8 portfolios. There was a HUD, as you are probably aware, there was a HUD draft solicitation that went out that would have regionalized that function and made it challenging for us to compete. Senator Reid, again, took a very strong leadership role, as did Congressman Langevin in the House, in gathering opposition to that language. And at the end of the day, they included a provision in the appropriations bill language as well as report language, which prohibited HUD from moving forward with that solicitation or anything similar to it, which was a very important win for us and for other HSAs across the country. Unfortunately, the Congress did not pass a major tax extenders bill this year, which we had hoped would include some of the provisions to expand the low-income housing tax credit program and make it, again, able to leverage more dollars here and across the country. So those provisions were not included, but neither were any of the other tax provisions, unfortunately, last year. In terms of looking forward to the current year, on the PBCA front, we're going to continue to work with Senator Reid, with NCSHA, and with HUD to try to ensure that however HUD moves forward, HSAs continue to be able to play a strong role in a state-based way in the administration of the Section 8 portfolio. We'll also be working with NCSHA to continue to advocate for those tax credit provisions that unfortunately were not included in the extenders bill. Those include provisions to increase the allocation of tax credits as well as lower the threshold for accessing bond financing for the 4% deals. And then finally, Risk Share Federal Federal Financing Bank. The FFB program has been very effective for us in the past, combined with Risk Share, particularly for preservation deals. The Biden administration resurrected it after a four-year lapse. However, the program is currently designed is supposed to sunset by September 30th, 2025, in favor of potentially a different structure involving Ginnie Mae. So we are actively engaged with NCSHA in the conversation around what can we keep FFB permanent. It's a structure that works very well for us. And if not, making sure that whatever structure succeeds it works well for HFAs here and across the country. And the usual appropriations that we will be supporting from the programs that we care about. Happy to answer any questions about either the recap or the priorities.
Thank you. Any questions for Amy?
I would like to note that Amy has been recognized nationally and the language that was put together that really protected housing finance agencies. She put a lot of work into it, spent a lot of time with representatives in Reed's office to advance this and to protect this agency with its program. So thank you to Amy for her work on that.
The other thing I would comment on, Carol, is that you know, there are a lot of stakeholders in housing across the state, whether it's the HRC or governor's office or the legislature or this organization. It's hard to pull all those strands together, and we really do need to stay moving in the same direction. So I really appreciate your coordinating and reporting on this because it helps to put us on the same page. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Anything else you'd like to share, Amy? All right. Seeing that there's no
further business,
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Second?
I'll second.
All right, second. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. We are adjourned.
Thank you.